turn to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start there. I want to talk to you tonight about your faith. Not about my faith. Not about your neighbor's faith, but about your faith. How's your faith doing? Right? How's your faith doing? And when we talk about that, when we talk about faith, we're talking about different things. We're talking about the ability to believe God's word and act on it, right? And in the general sense, we're talking, well, what's your faith? Well, I'm a Christian, right? That my belief system is based on the Bible, and that's good. That's kind of like the overview of everything. But specifically tonight, I want to get to the place where if God has something for me and He's promised me something, I don't want to keep looking for it. I want to have it. I want it to be an action in my life. And have you ever felt like, well, yeah, the promise is there, and then it's gone. Then it's there, and then it's gone. Tonight, I think we can answer some things and just locate ourselves, right? This is all about me, right? When I'm talking about your faith, and all of us can say, this is talking about me. Glory to God. But look at chapter 9 and go to verse 20. We're going to read over this and we'll come back to it later, but he says, Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around when he saw her and said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made whole from that same hour. There's other Gospels that have a more expanded version of this, but the essence of tonight that I want us to look at, he said to her, you know, it was your faith. It was your faith that made you well. It's kind of interesting. You'd think, well, no, it was his power. Right? I mean, it was his power that touched her and healed her, right? Yes, but no. His power was in him the whole time, but it took somebody to tap into that power. And the way that she tapped into it was her faith. Her faith. But I want you to notice something. We'll see this over and over again. Go back up to verse 21. He said, for she said to herself, everybody said to herself. You all talk to yourself all the time, right? We all talk to ourselves, self-talk, however you want to. But what I want to indicate to you tonight, that the way that you talk to yourself and about yourself indicates your faith. It absolutely indicates what you believe. Now, we'll prove that out. But look what he said again. For she said to herself, if I only may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And the other Gospels talk about her pressing through the throng and getting there. But then he looked and he said to her, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Her faith was talking when she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. I'll be healed. In studying over, you know, the great healing revival, and people would go to the meetings, and some people would go there with this attitude. Well, I'm going, and I'm going with crutches, but I'm not going to be walking back with crutches. Because when I go there and the man of God or the woman of God touches me, I'm going to be made well. See, there was a faith there that was built up. And it was her faith that access the promise of God. I'll tell you this, the promise was in Jesus the whole time. And anybody who did what she did could have gotten what she got. So sometimes when we're looking at other people and say, well, man, they're just blessed. I mean, they're just blessed. Or they're always happy, or they have peace, or they... Maybe it's our faith that isn't accessing, come on, what God has promised. The easiest way to avoid having to grow in faith is to deny your responsibility in it. Right? Let me give you an example. And how many know that God is sovereign? We know that God is sovereign. But sometimes we use His sovereignty for a crutch from not accessing what He's promised us. What do I mean? Well, you know, God will do what He's going to do. He might do it to me. He might not do it to me. And the reality is, everything that Jesus purchased on the cross, He's already done for you. It's not something He's going to do. You say, well, you're sick. Let's see. Let's find the whip. I need a few more stripes because they've run out of my stripes down there. No, He said, by your stripes, by His stripes, we were healed. Right? So is the healing available to us? Yes. But what is our faith saying? I don't know what's going to happen. This is bad. Everything is bad. Everything is... No, the reality is we have to get to the place where we begin to say what we see the Word saying until it resides on the inside of us so strongly that when we know that we act on it, we've already got it. I may have mentioned this the other day. I was listening on YouTube to Dr. Youngi Cho, and I mean, he had a church with over 1 million people in it at one time. Let me say that again. He had a church with over 1 million people in it. That's more than we have here tonight, but, you know, who knows? But watch this. When he was small, the Lord, you know, began to speak to him, can you believe me for 300 people? Oh, no, Lord, no. I'm going to give you a church of 300 people. And what he said he did is he went home and he began to meditate on that, began to think about that, began to, you know, Lord, show me that, show me that. And he got to the place where he had it in his heart. And it was at that place that he could believe for it. And then pretty soon it was 300, and then 3,000, and then 30,000, on, and, you know. But first of all, we have to know that God is speaking to us personally. Not secondhand knowledge, not, well, you know, God did it for somebody else, maybe He'll do it for me. No, when you get the Word for yourself, you know, God, you promised this. And I'm not being arrogant, and I'm not saying you have to give it to me, but I'm going to take access to what you promised. See, our faith is involved. And how many know that you have faith? If you're saved, you have faith because you can't get saved without it. Right? So you have faith, but let's look at how that works. And first of all, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Many of you are really familiar with this particular verse, but let's read it again. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the word hope there is not wish. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word hope there is a confidence built on relationship. I have an expectation in my heart. And so my faith is the substance of the thing that I expect. Real simple. Jesus loves me. Did you know that He loves you? God loves you. God so loved the world. And once you put yourself in the world, you put yourself in that scripture, then you take that personally. That God so loved Bruce that He gave His only begotten Son. Right? So the substance of me knowing that He loves me is based on what He said about me. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How many saw Jesus today? I mean, did He walk up to you, talk to you? I mean, right? We know He's here. We know that He lives in us. We know that He's with us all the time. But it's our faith that is indicating the evidence of what we have, our relationship with Him. So every promise of God is based on the same thing. But most of us, in our faith, we're not at the level where we really believe that that's true. Does God want you to be in perfect peace? Or does He want you to be just a little peace, a little turmoil, some stress today, some relief tomorrow, depressed today, joy tomorrow? No, I believe He wants us in peace all the time. But we have to see that, and then we have to begin to speak that and command that to ourselves and to our bodies and say, I'm not getting out of here until I have that. And quit talking about the faith that you have that is not yours. Well, I wouldn't do that. You do it all the time. We do it all the time. I don't know what I'm going to do about this bill. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. And yet He said, I shall supply all of your needs according to My riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So rather than saying, I don't know what I'm going to do, we need to put our faith into action. Right? So again, there's aspects to faith. Two aspects to faith. And go back to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. There's the aspect of, does God have the ability? And most of us are pretty good with that. Sure, God has the ability. God can do anything He wanted to. If God wanted to, He could, you know, send down rain gold down into this place where we could all pick up a pound of gold and go our way, right? Could God do that? Well, He could do that. And every promise of God that's in His Word is available to us, and He can perform it. But watch this now, because there's a second aspect to it. Verse 1, it says, when He had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if You are willing, You can make me clean. So He was saying, look, You have the ability to do this. Jesus, I know that in You is the ability to make me clean. I'm a leper, and I've got everything that's going on. I know that You're able. But there was a question that had to be answered. When He said, if You're willing, what He was really saying is, I've heard about You doing it for everybody else, but I'm not sure if You'll do it for me. As long as we're in that category, we won't receive what He has for us. We've got to come out of that and say, no, Lord, because Your will is written in Your book, and Your book is for me, if I read a promise in there, You're willing. So we have two things covered then. We have His ability to do it, and then His willingness to do it for me. Because what was Jesus' response to this man? Jesus put out His hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Do you know there were people that Jesus talked to that didn't get what they could have gotten out of Him? Because they didn't understand that He could and that He was willing to do it for them. I'm thinking about the story where He went to His own hometown, and you know, He'd just been on the field, and all the cities around Him and people were coming. Everybody was getting healed. People were getting delivered. Demons were coming out. Yeah, I mean, it was just tremendous. And that report got back to His hometown. They said, Jesus? Isn't that Joseph's son? And the Bible says that there He could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Come on. See, I believe that there is faith that we have and then unbelief that we operate in. Right? It's like the one man said, I believe, but help though my unbelief. But what we do is we feed our unbelief more than we feed our faith by what comes out of our mouth. I mean, really, when you start to look at it, oh, that's kind of dumb, right? That's kind of dumb. He's with me. Let's. I didn't put this on the screen, but just turn with me to Psalm 117. Psalm 117. It's the shortest psalm in the Scripture. But if we just went over this every day, but took ownership of it, like, this is me. I'm declaring this. I know it's written in the Bible, but I'm declaring it. I'm owning this. This is mine. Listen to what it says. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. For His merciful kindness is toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now think about that for just a minute. Because, first of all, He says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. In other words, those who aren't of the Jews, those who don't have the covenant, those who are outside of the main group, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Why? Praise and laud Him, all you His people. Verse 2, it says, for His merciful kindness is toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Is God kind? Is God kind? But is He kind to you? Right? But are you talking about His kindness or His reservation to act in your time frame? See, out of our mouth, we know He's kind. And we really believe He's been kind to us at times. But our unbelief comes to the point and comes out when, I don't know if He's going to come through this time or not. Right? You don't understand my situation. Well, no, you don't understand God. Because He's always kind. He's gracious. He's for us. He's with us. So in your faith, you have to get to the place where you know His ability, but you are absolutely certain that He's willing to do it for you. And I guarantee you that anything that we're going through, anything that we've been through tonight, anything that you need prayer for tonight, you're not the only one that's ever been in that position. And you're not the only one who's touched God by faith and God has done a miraculous intervention in their lives. So why not us? Why not us begin to act like His Word is true and begin to speak like His Word is true rather than what we've been saying? Again, this is so good. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. See, I think we ought to have more victory than we have. I think we ought to act like we're victorious rather than defeated. What do you mean? Man, all we have to do is look at our face in the mirror. Right? Woe is me, you know. Woe is me. No. Whoa, look at me. I'm a child of the King. Say that again? No, go right ahead. Really? Yeah. Hang on. I need you to speak in here so that the live stream. Come on, you can do it. Just hold it. Okay. Oh, I understand now. Yeah, no. Go ahead. Yeah, okay. There's reasons for that. All right, but watch this. This is really important that we begin to look at ourselves through the eyes of what God has done for us. Right? And when we're going through struggles and they seem like they're overwhelming, we've got to say, no. If I but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made well. I'll be made whole. It's interesting to me, too, over and over again, where in the Bible it says when Jesus touched them and they got healed, it says they were made whole. They were made whole. I think that encompasses more than just a healing. I think it means so much more glory to God, all the trauma that was associated with the pain of that thing was made whole. I don't have to suffer with that anymore. But in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, as it is written. Everybody say, as it is written. Do you have anything that's been written to you? Do you? Do you have a Bible? Then that's the Word of God written to you. Catch it. Catch it. Catch it. The joy of the Lord is my strength, he said. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's written. And it's for me. Oh yeah, but God takes care of somebody else, but I'm not so sure about me. You're talking about His ability, but you're not tapping into His willingness. Tonight I want you to just tap into His willingness and say, God, if you're willing, I'm here. You know, I'm ready. But watch this. Again, he says, for it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of him who believed, God, he who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Abraham was Abram, first of all, and God spoke to him that I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He said to him, I'm going to bless you, and through your seed, all nations will be blessed. And, you know, if we were thinking in our terms, God said that, tomorrow I should be a father of many nations. But the reality of that is Abram had to go 20 years before he had the son of promise. So there was a gestation period of the seed of the word that was sown into him that had to take place in order for it to be able to produce what God wanted it to produce. We would think that all God's promises should just fall out of the sky over us. But the reality is that's not the way it works. He does His part. We have to do our part. Let me just give you one as a side note. The Bible says that He gives us the power to get wealth. It doesn't say He gives us wealth. What does that mean? It means that He'll give us the plans, the schemes, you know, anything that we need to, if we'll do it His way, to maintain a healthy budget and to be able to. He said in the New Testament, you're going to have so much of a supply of my grace that you'll have so much sufficiency that you'll be able to give to every good work. Whoa. But Paul was writing that to a church that it was a giving church that got into the absolute laws of seed time and harvest. So what I'm saying is we have to get to the place where we're doing our part and not going around saying, well, I guess that doesn't work, or I guess God doesn't want to do that for me. We have to get to the place where we say, God, if you said it, that settles it. So let's go on. Verse 18. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. Many of us are sitting in places where our lives seem contrary to the expectation that we might be having. Right? How can I have peace? How could God ever fix this? How could God ever get me through this? And the reality is, what we need to do is we need to say, no, against hope, I'm going to believe in hope. I'm going to continue with that expectation. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body being dead, since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he promised, he was also able to perform. See, what our problem is that we're not fully convinced. Most of us are fully convinced that God is able, but too many of us are not convinced that He's willing. I'm telling you tonight, He's willing. I said tonight, He's willing. He wants you to be blessed. But your faith has a portion to play in whether you receive what he's willing to give. Does that make sense? But go back to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Glory to God. And again, the first example was as the man, the leper came down. If you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus answered the question. I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if Jesus promised or did something in the New Testament that we've read, then he's willing to do it now. Come on. Just like he was willing to bend down to the woman who was caught in the act of adultery and say, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. If you've gone to Jesus over some actions in the past, he's already forgiven you. Condemnation has already gone away from you. And what he's saying is, don't keep doing the same thing because I don't want you to be in the same pit next week or next month or next year. But we have to take the fact that I am now free from condemnation. That self-condemnation that would just come over you and tell you, well, I'm no good. How about this one? And who's ever said this? And don't raise your hands. But they'd be better off without me. That's been on the lips and the heart of a lot of people. And it's a precursor to some people taking their own lives. But what they don't understand is they don't value what God has produced in them. God loves me. God has a plan for me. God is for me. I need to be speaking about that rather than, you know what? They'd be better off without me. That's unbelief of what God has said. So your faith needs to be speaking what God has said. And you need to, in order for you to start speaking it, you've got to understand that it's God's will for you to have it. Glory. Glory to God. Look at verse 5. Here's another instance. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now listen to the centurion's response. Listen to this. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having the soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled, saying to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. How did Jesus know that he had great faith? By what he said coming out of his heart. He said, Jesus, come heal my servant. I will. You don't need to come. Because I know that you are a man of authority. And I love the chain of command, if you will. He said, man, I'm under authority, but I got people under me. I tell one soldier to go, and he goes. If I tell him to come, he comes. Right? And so what he was saying is, I know you're a man under authority. And that authority that you've gotten from the one who's commanding you, in that authority, is been granted to you the power to heal. So all you have to do is speak the word from the authority that's been given to you, and my servant will be healed. So how did Jesus know he had faith? Because of what he said. Because of what he said. Oftentimes, we're saying things and not believing and counting that as our faith, but we haven't spent enough time in the Word to get fully persuaded that that which God promised is mine. So we're doing it, so I wish it would happen. Maybe if I say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed 100 times, then I would be healed. Possibly, If that is a picture that's been painted into your heart to drive out the doubt, there's a possibility of that. But the reality is, until you understand that God is willing to heal me, you can say it till you're blue in the face, but your unbelief will always overcome. And how does that look, or how does that sound? I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. But the doctors don't know what they're going to do. I'm not against doctors. I think doctors are great. But where is our faith? Our faith is what we're saying. So you have to check yourself out. What have I been saying? And if my saying isn't in line with what He's promised, it would be a good opportunity for me to change what I'm saying. If you think you're worthless, then you haven't read the Bible. If you think that you're not good enough, you haven't read the Bible. Because it's not your goodness that brings you to a relationship. It's your faith that Jesus was good enough. So rather than saying, we can say it like this, I think, Lord, without You, there's nothing good in me. But I'm not without You. I have You. And Your wisdom and Your glory and Your goodness and Your righteousness are in me because of the blood. And I thank You right now that I've been made holy because You're holy. I've been righteous because You've been made, You were righteous. You took my sin. I got Your righteousness, God. I know that blows my mind, but Lord, I'm saying it and speaking it and drawing that picture inside of me until it becomes my reality. Have you ever heard the scripture, He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee? Have you ever read that? Well, in the Hebrew, there is really no word for mind. And it could have been translated, probably, I think, even more appropriately, He who keeps His imagination on me. What does that mean? That means, if I could just imagine, if I could just get that image burned into me, then I'd have perfect peace. If I could just get that image burnt into me that God is with me. Paul says, if God be for me, who could be against me? In other words, your opinion doesn't really matter. What you do doesn't matter. Because my life is hidden in Christ. Right? But we have to come back to the place, if I really believe God is able to make me holy, God is really able to answer my prayers, God is really able to take care of my needs, God is really able to heal my diseases, but I'm going to begin to declare He's willing to do it. I'm not arrogantly making God, saying something to try to make God do something. What I'm saying is, I'm saying to myself and to all those around me that the authority that Jesus passed on to the church belongs to me. And I'm declaring to my body, I'm declaring to spirits that are around me, I'm declaring by the Word of God that this is what I am, this is who I have, and these promises are for me because God is willing. And I'm touching the hem of His garment. Come on. That's so good. That's so, you know, when we get a hold of this, depression has had its last day in us. Is God able to heal you of whatever is going on in your life? Right? Do we have to suffer with a broken heart till we get to heaven and everything will be all right? No. He said He came to heal the brokenhearted. He said He came to give sight to the blind. And He said today is the day. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Today this has been fulfilled in your ears. So let's begin to declare what He said. And our faith will no longer be weak faith, but it'll become strong faith. Think about this. A centurion. The Jews didn't like the centurions. They were oppressors. So Jesus said, boys, oive, in all of Jerusalem and Judea and every synagogue I've ever been in, I've never seen one of my people who had the same amount of faith as this man. Oh, glory to God. And he knew that because of what he said. Is Jesus, just a question, you don't have to answer it. Well, you should. Is Jesus listening to what you're saying? I think he is. I do. And he's looking for somebody that will just agree with him. Somebody that will just get in the Word and say the same thing. Glory to God. Listen, years ago I didn't like to talk to strangers. And I just, you know, that was not my thing at all. And I was told that I'd only been saved a few months. Many of you have heard the story, but I was only saved a few months. And the guy that was leading the Bible studies that I was going to, he said, next Wednesday, you're preaching, you're teaching. I said, huh? That means I got to talk to people. But I don't know anything about the Bible. Right? I was still at the point where I had to go to the index to find the book. And I only had the New Testament, right? I didn't know where they were. I had to go find it. But I'd been reading it. And I read someplace, and it was in John, the book of John. It said, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that self-same hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. And I went, I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm your man. See, I believed that word was mine. And so I began to say that that's what was going to happen. I don't recommend this as far as sending somebody out after a couple months to lead Bible studies. I don't think that was wise. But the reality was, is that I trusted God. So here's what I did. I went to the Bible study, and it wasn't at my house. So I went and drove there, got there a few minutes early, spent about 10 minutes or 15 minutes praying in the Holy Ghost. That's all I knew to do. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I went into the Bible study. I sat down. And I said, open your Bibles. And I'm not kidding you. I'd never read it before. Never read that chapter before. Now that I don't recommend this. But God was true to His Word. God was true to His Word. And because I believed it, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And in those Bible studies where I had no knowledge, really no business doing it per se, people were blessed. There was people filled with the Holy Ghost. People got healed just because I believed and I touched the hem of the anointing because I said what He said. I didn't say what I was saying. I wasn't even talking about my anointing, but the anointing that came from Him because I read it and I believed it. See, it was my faith speaking and then acting on what I believed that caused that to come to pass. Are you with me? Come on, what is it that God wants you to accomplish or wants you to live in that you aren't living in because you're saying your unbelief rather than your faith? It takes a lot to curb your tongue. Have you ever noticed that? Right? It takes a lot to get that, you know, like a bridle of a horse and say, no, we're not saying that. And have you ever had the fortunate of sucking words back in before you let them out because you knew that if you let them out, it wouldn't be good? I've done that before. But it's your very words that are indicating where your faith is. But you can change that. Here's the good news. You can change that. You can begin to declare, He said that I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. I feel like I'm weak. I feel like I'm defeated. That's the hope that I'm experiencing right now. But against that hope, I'm going to continue to say that in Him I'm more than a conqueror. In Him, all who believe, nothing is impossible for those who believe. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm just going to continue to build that and build that. And when any other word tries to come out of my mouth, I'm going to grab it and say, oh, no, you don't. I'm not going to speak the unbelief. I'm going to speak faith. And that will produce. Your faith will produce. There's nothing wrong with your faith, but you've got to get the unbelief out of your mouth. Go with me. We're not going to get to all these scriptures, I don't think, tonight. But go with me to Romans chapter 10. Have you ever heard an altar call? Everybody should say yes, yes, in this room. Everybody, an altar call means come to Jesus type of thing. But look at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. The word is near you. It's in your heart and in your mouth. It has to be in both places. That is the word of faith which we preach. What's the word of faith? It's the word that's in your heart and it's in your mouth. Where's my faith located? It's in my heart, but it's also in my mouth. Where's my unbelief located? It's in my heart, but it's also in my mouth. If I can change my heart by changing my mouth and vice versa, I'll have a combination that will produce what He's promised. Now look, let's go on. Verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. How many believe that's true? Because it goes on to say, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Every promise of God is in these verses. These two verses contain, because saved and salvation are more than just I'm going to heaven, although that's a great big part of it. It means that the peace of God is mine. The provision of God is mine. Salvation means that when I'm in trouble, He's there to save. But I must confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, because with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's important for us to understand that my faith is bound up in two places. It's in my heart and it's in my mouth. And if I listen to myself or if I listen to somebody else, it doesn't take long to locate where they are by what they're saying. Tonight, though, I want to tell you, He's for you. He's not against you. He said that He'd answer our prayers. He said He'd heal the sick. He said He'd bring deliverance to those that are bound. He said it. Glory to God. He said this. If I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. He said, come on, that I'd speak with new tongues. He said I'd cast out devils by His name. He said that. And I'm saying the same thing. Because I know He's willing and able to use me if I'll believe that His anointing is on me to be the conduit that He can use to touch other people. I've seen it over and over and over again. I've been at this a long time and I've watched the power of God move. Come on. I remember the night when I was talking to a lady and the eyes of her, you know, her eyes rolled to the back of her head. I don't know if you've ever seen that. And a man's voice came out of her and she was a Christian. I don't know everybody's theology, but she was a Christian. And all of a sudden this thing was talking out of her mouth. What do you do with that? I'm going home. No. I knew that I had the power to cast out devils. I knew that that instant, it was the time of her deliverance because God sent me there for that very purpose. And so what I do in the name of Jesus, you have to come out of her. And it didn't happen the first time. We were with it for a little bit, but she was set free that night. Why? Because I believed in my heart, and then I said it with my mouth. If I'd have just believed it with my heart, she would have never received the deliverance. I had to state it with my mouth. And you have to do the same thing. Where you seem like God's not answering the prayers that you know are covered in the Word of God, you need to get back into the Word and read it until you understand that He's willing to do that for you. And then you begin to declare that against hope, I'm believing in hope. Because my hope is the evidence of the things that I don't have yet, but they're here. Come on. Because He said it. Come on. I will have peace. I will have joy. I will have provision. God will take care of me. Listen, we're listening and we're living in a world today where fear is everywhere. All the division in this country, in churches, in families, it's all fear-based. Let's become beacons of faith rather than, you know, carriers of fear. Well, this has happened in COVID. Yeah, but my God, you know, He's kind to me. He's good to me. God is my rock. God's my salvation. He'll supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Yeah, but what if the bank goes down? Well, so what? You know, what if you run out of food? Well, you know, I'll be hungry for a little while, but after a while I'll be in heaven, so it really doesn't matter. I mean, you hear where I'm going? And besides that, if God fed the prophet with ravens, He can do the same thing with me. My source is not the earthly supply. My source is the heavenly supply. Because I know that He's able, and I know that He's willing. Come on. Did you get something tonight? Come on, let's do something about it. I've started to get out some scriptures again and begin to make some proclamations over myself again that I used to make all the time, but I let that slip. But no, bless God, I am a righteous man because of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm an anointed man because the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of me. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm an ambassador for the King. I have the Word of God on my lips, and I'm here to send a message to the hearts of the people that are around me, and that message is for freedom. Because He who knew no sin became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And God's not mad at the world. He wants the world to know that through Him they can have access to the throne of God. And so when I speak, come on, when I speak, people listen, heaven listens, and the devil trembles because of the blood and because of the power of His name. Amen? Come on, so begin to speak. Watch what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying. And slap yourself if unbelief is coming out of your mouth. I give you permission to slap yourself. I don't give yourself permission to slap somebody else. But slap yourself. Say, no, I refuse to do that. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word tonight. I thank You, Lord, that You're here. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's really as simple as we read. But you have to mean it with all of your heart. And you just come to Him just like you are. And you say, Father, I need a Savior. I want to have a relationship with You. So I believe in my heart and I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one who came to save us. To forgive us of our sins. He paid the penalty for my sins. I recognize that I've sinned, but I need the Savior. And so I ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. And that God, You raised Him from the dead. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And He's working in me and through me. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer your whole life, your whole eternity just changed. Glory to God. But if you need prayer for anything, you know, give us a call if you're online. If not, if you're here, come up and we'll pray for you. Because good things are happening now in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. God bless you. Amen. Amen.